Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through, so have no fear. Oh, God can and God will, no matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
I die a little every day, so I keep pressing down as I answer your call. Give me more of you. I want to win with you.
Good morning. Certainly with God, we definitely win. I want to say good morning to all of you that are listening and will listen to this blog. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly, I want to thank you all again for waking up with me on this Saturday morning and participating with me. I hope you got your coffee. I hope you got your donut or whatever you're going to do this morning and sit back, and we're going to expound on the word of the Lord. This is part two of last week's lesson. It got so good, I wasn't able to finish it up. So I said, I'm going to finish up this lesson on today. But again, I want to make my announcements before I go into the lesson. Amazing Grace Ministries, Amazing Grace School of Ministry, is now accepting registration. So give me a call at 309-750-7584. The lessons that we're going to be dealing with, certainly Blog Talk Radio is conducted over the airwaves and in online, and you don't have to leave the comfort of your home to register or to go into the classroom setting. The School of Ministry is strictly online, And certainly, all who register are welcome. So, you can also give me a call, email me at drkerryphd@yahoo.com. And the topic of study is the DNA of emotional instabilities. So if you're interested, give me a call or send me an email saying, Dr. Carey, I'm interested. I want to be part of the School of Ministry this year. I want to take your classes. Hallelujah. Come on aboard. So, again, this is part two, and we're going to get into the lesson. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 reads verses 3 through 5. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Now we're jumping all the way down to verses 15 through 17, 18 actually. I'm going to do 18. 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou king Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up against the chaff of Ziph. This, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." 17, and this is the most common verse when we're dealing with this chapter. It says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go up against them, for the Lord will be with you." And I like this verse. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And that's going to be what we wrap it up with on next week. But I said that I would finish what we were talking about on last week. And certainly we got into it. We've been getting into this whole 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. I encourage you to go to your Bibles and read this. In this day and time, we have to begin to read the Bible differently. We have to ask God's spiritual input in reading the Word of God. You know, a lot of times we skip over the names because half the times we can't pronounce those names and we just skip them. But we have to take some time to just study those names and understand what's going on in the Bible, because the Bible is a book of, wow, it's just a book full of information. And if we take it to heart, if we apply that word, and if we get it in our heart, you know, the Word of God says we will not sin against the Lord because we have it in our heart. And I'm paraphrasing. So we're in the second chapter, in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. It's the 20th chapter, y'all. So we're here in this chapter, and we've been working with it all month. We started out in the first week talking about understanding who your enemies are. Because we have to understand, and see what Satan is trying to do. We have to allow the Lord to give us a spirit of discernment to see the enemy full-blooded, see what he's trying to do, so that God can give us a strategic plan to defeat him, to defeat the enemy. The Lord says the battle is yours and it's ours, but we lose the battle because we have not gone before the Lord to seek his plan and his provision and his understanding of what to do in that battle. So because we have not done that, then we lose out and we mess up. We say, let me go my own way. And the Bible is clear. It says, in everything we are to ask God for his direction, his understanding, his wisdom, his anointing. So we have to seek the Lord. So here we are in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Satan is alive. And we have been talking about that. And we dealt with last week the battle. We were dealing with the battle. We defined our weaponry, and we defined what armed was. And armed is being furnished with weapons, something that provides security. We talked about the battlefield, which is the area where the battle is fought. And, of course, the battle is the encounter between opposing forces, armed and fighting in combat. And we are fighting. This is a day and time where we're going through storms. We're not going through one storm. We're going through multiple storms. We're in storms in every day. Every day that the Lord allow us another opportunity on this side of the earth, we are going through. There's something, there's someone, there's something, there's an issue that we have to deal with, because Satan is strategic. Satan is on his job. He wants to get the saints of God weary and tired. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, but if you faint not. And Satan is trying to get us to faint. Satan is trying to get us to throw in the towel. He's trying to get us to see the situation and not look to the hills from which cometh our help. So we've been talking about that. So on last week, we talked about, we got into this world. We got into the fact that we're living in a day and time where this is perilous times, where this world is not our home, where we're fighting a battle that's invisible. We're fighting a battle that's invisible. We talked about spiritual warfare, and it's a conflict between good and evil. And we talked about this because it has to do with the battle we're fighting. When we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and we see Jehoshaphat, I started with the chapters or the verses in the first part of the chapter talking about he was fearful. He was fearful and he sought the Lord, because his enemies, the Moabites and the Ammonites, came up against him. And those tribes were kin to him because they were the children of Lot. So that's why I said you got to understand this book. This book has a lot of information which is relative to the course, which is relative to our lives now. Some people will say this book is old and is not useful, or, you know, let's throw it away. But that's the enemy talking, because the Bible, we can stand on the promises of God and we can know that we are going to find he's going to see us through. If we depend on him, he's going to make a way out of no way. All we got to do is trust him. Hallelujah. But we'll go through things and situations in our lives. We'll go through cancer and diseases and hardship where we ask the Lord, Lord, are you here? Are you still with us? Can we find you? But he's still with the saints. He's still fighting the battle for us. He's still working it out for us. So we get into John 15 and 19, and I'm going to read it. If you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 17, verses 14 and 16, it reads, I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is an important scripture that I need to read, and this scripture, this is powerful, and this scripture is the New King James Version, and it reads, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And, of course, this is another scripture we've been dealing with, and we're going to break it down. It's Ephesians 6 and 12. And this says, those who are not flesh and blood, and I'm going to read that one, because that one, I'm getting down into the narrative of it. And Ephesians 6, chapter 6, read that too in your spare time, because we need to understand that this is not we may live in the flesh, but we're not of this world. So for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rules of doctrines of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and heavenly places. So breaking it down, it says those who are not flesh and blood are demons over whom Satan has control. They are not mere fantasies. They are very real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat the Christian or Christ Church. So when we look at this and when we break it down, we begin to see that we are not of this world. And when we look at Second Chronicles and we see that he's going through a situation where the Lord is telling him the battle is not his, but it belongs to God. And he had to position himself to understand, first of all, who his enemies were. And then he had to position himself to pray and to seek God. And it's a normal thing to find ourselves fearful. It's part of life. But then we take that fear and we put it in the hands of the Lord and we pray about it. God, I don't understand it. I'm fearful about it. But God, I know you hold my hand. I know you will take me through. I know, God, if I put my trust in you, you will give me the victory. So he sets himself to pray. Hallelujah. When his enemies came up against him, you know, Satan likes to get loud and obnoxious, and he likes to say who he is, and he likes to feel like he's a giant and he's going against the children of God, like the Philistine, the giant, won against David. Y'all know that story. He was going against the children of Israel, and the giant and the Philistines wanted to say, look, we are greater than your God. We are greater, and we will defeat you. That's how situations present themselves now. That's how Satan presents himself now. He tries to make us fearful, but the Bible is clear. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. So we can't be conformed to the way this world operates. We're living to live again. The Bible says we're made in God's image, and this body will die, but my soul and my spirit will live on. And hallelujah, the saints of old, the saints that have gone, the saints that have left here are gone on the glory. And the Bible says, if I am absent in the body, I am present with the Lord. And there is a opportunity, there is a mansion that's made for those believers that have kept the faith. But Satan is trying to make us weary. So when we look at Ephesians 6:12, and we look at the principalities, and when we look at, we wrestle against Satan's angels, and we need to understand that one third of those demons were cast out of heaven and are with Satan. So when we look at the world, when we look at the setup of this world, hallelujah, we are in spiritual warfare. We are in a time where Satan is trying to make God look bad. He's trying to say that God has no power. And when we look at the Spirit of God, when Christ died and He rose again. He sent Christ back down through, He sent a comforter. Christ sent a comforter. And that comforter was the Holy Spirit. Now, we need the indwelling. We need the power of the Holy Spirit operating, maneuvering through us. Because we need to hear. We need to have an ear to hear what's going on in our family, what's going on in the situations that we're walking through and in. And I tell you, God will provide a ram in the bush. So one third were cast out of heaven. So when we look at the struggle, we look at principalities, when we look at wrestle, when we look at the Greek word that talks about wrestle, it means to fight and struggle. Pali, P-A-L-E-I is the Greek word. And that means, hallelujah, that means to fight or struggle. So when we're wrestling, we have four spiritual forces in the kingdom of darkness that we're going against. We've got principalities, which means this is the first one. This means high ranking. This means leaders. This means people in authority. You got powers, the authorities of lower atmosphere. So when you look at principalities, when you look at spirits that's controlling various cities, and you have spirits, you have demonic forces that are opposing even the city of Chicago. You have spirits that are fighting against those of us that are saved and sanctified here that's warring against us because they don't want us to win. So when you get all those principalities, all those spirits that surround various earths, they earth, and they surround various cities, various states. Demonic forces that are fighting, demonic forces. And then you have rulers, rulers of doctors of this world. And then spiritual wickedness in high places, operating in high positions, in leadership, in government. Wickedness operating in high places. So when you look at the politics, when you look at government, and when you look at all of those entities, Satan is operating there to implement plans that are against our religious beliefs. And this is emphasized in Ephesians 6 and 12. When we believe in Christ and join his church, those principalities become our enemies, and they try every device to turn us around. Hallelujah. From Christ and back to sin. You know, when we look at our families and we go around our families and we have a standard of life, we have a standard of the way we operate, we have a standard of uplifting the Lord, and your family members will tell you, oh, it don't take all that, and maybe some lower level Christians who have not understood what it means. I'm just going to say Satan got, he got his members in the church too, okay? So when they come and tell you it don't take all that, when you know when the Church of God in Christ was a church that fasted and prayed and Tuesday night Bible study and Friday night tarrying service, and you lay in prayer all night long on a Friday night shut in. And you didn't leave until Saturday morning because you was praying and seeking God and tarrying services. And tarrying services only mean wait. Now we got a new generation that don't feel like it takes all that. But we need to go back to some praying and some fasting and some seeking the Lord and stealing away in our closet and really beginning to pray. Because we need to understand what God is saying in this last and evil time. We need to be prepared. We need to be armed accordingly. And if we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us how we need to dress. We need to put on that whole armor before we get outside, before we hit the door. God, you arm me accordingly. You guide me. God, you be my eyes and you speak to me, Holy Spirit, because I need to see Satan. Ooh. I need to see him when he comes up against me. And I guarantee you he's going to come up against you. Hallelujah, because he wants to make you turn back. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit armor is the armor surrounds us. When we go through Psalms 144, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Hallelujah. "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, he is whom I trust." Hallelujah. Who subdueth my people under me. 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant. Because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, David acknowledges his dependence upon God and his obligation to him in verses 1, Psalms 144, verses 1 and 2. He gives to God the glory of two things. What he was to him, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock." And how many of you on the line or will hear this blog will say, "God is my rock"? If it had not been for the Lord by my side, I don't know where I'd be. If it had not been the Lord seeing me through, if it had not been the Lord healing my body, if it had not been for the Lord paying the bill, if it had not been for the Lord guiding my children, if it had not been for the Lord protecting me, if it had not been for the Lord, hallelujah, he's our rock. He is our rock, hallelujah. My goodness and my fortress. He has in covenant engaged himself to be. He encourages us according to these two verses. He acknowledges God. He says he depends on him. And we as saints of God have to depend on God. We have to have faith in God. We have to know that God will bring us out. He speaks. He trusts. He speaks of the trust he has in him. This is David now. Hallelujah. Which made it easy. Hallelujah. So that he can triumph. Which made him glad to know that this is God, my rock. I trust him. I know him for myself. I know that what he's able to do. I know that he will bring me through. I know that he will bring me out. He says he is my strength, whom I stand in, whom I have power in, whom I can't do it on my own, who is my rock that I'm built upon. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I know him to be my rock. I know him to be my strength. When I would have fainted, I called on the name of the Lord and he strengthened me. My goodness, not goodness of my own, but because of his goodness, because he is chief in goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the authority of goodness, the goodness in me. From him comes every good and perfect gift. I can't be good on my own, y'all, but I'm good because God provides, God worketh on me, and the Holy Spirit restrains me. You know, sometimes we want to say some stuff when people have got on our last nerve, when they have talked about us and we know that they're wrong, when they're lying, when they're not saying the truth, and we want to say something, but the Spirit of the Lord will restrain us and make us smile and speak and be good to them anyway. Hallelujah. That's the goodness of the Lord. That's the goodness of God working through us. Not that we are good ourselves, but it's the Holy Spirit. And this one thing that I like, my fortress and my high tower. Hallelujah. The safety of a castle, a stronghold that provides for my needs, that provides me in the safety of a castle, safety of the strongholds. He protects me. He shields me. He keeps me from all evil. Hallelujah. He protects and holds fast. The Lord is my strength. He's my tower. He's my fortress. He gives me divine attributes and promises to fortify the believer so that he secures me in the spirit, so he secures me from my enemies. So when I go to war, when I'm fighting a battle, he stands before me. He told Jehoshaphat, you don't have to fight in this battle. And the reason why he told Jehoshaphat that is because God is our fortress and our high tower. He's the God of war. He will fight for us. Also, he's my deliverer. Hallelujah. He will deliver me. He will deliver me out of Satan's snare. He will deliver me out of the plots of my enemies. He will deliver me out of the things that Satan is trying to trip me up on. But if I stand fast in the liberty whereby Christ has made me free, not only is he my deliverer, he is my shield. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all of those fiery dots that Satan throws my way, my shield will protect me. It will stop those fiery dots. You know, when we look at Ephesians chapter 6 and when we look at the Roman soldiers and when we read the armor of the Lord and we read each element that we are to apply to our heads and our shield of faith and so on, you begin to see that we are to be dressed for war, but that shield that a soldier takes into battle with him, that shield is to protect him from the arrows and all those things that will come against him in battle. Hallelujah. Because we are in war. Now, when we look at the art of war, we look at who our chief commander is in war. Now, we see that David was a shepherd, but God had made him a soldier. He had taught him how to fight. So when we look at God, he teaches us how to fight the battles. He teaches us what we need in order to win the battle. And that's why I said we have to understand the enemy that we're facing, and we have to understand how to fight the battle that we're in, because we're going through storms. My battle is different from yours. And each and every believer that will hear this blog, your battle is different from any other believer. So in essence, we have to understand the battle we fight, and then we have to understand that God has made a way out of no way. God is the Jehovah Gibor. And that means he is the God or the chief. Hallelujah. He is the commander, a chief, or the commander, or the commander in chief of war. Just like you have a president who is the commander in chief of the army, God is our commander in chief, Jehovah Gibor, Gibor, G-I-B-B-O-R, Milchema, Gibor Milchema, and it's found in Psalms 24 and 8. It says, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Isaiah 9 and 6, this is the King James Version. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So when we look at who God is, who Jesus is, when we look at our commander-in-chief, our commander-in-chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an informed leader. He knows the enemy. He knows his arsenal. He knows the territory. He's not one that whose hands... He's not one of those hands-off leaders who only want to hear good reports, but he's in the trenches. He's in the battle with you. He sees all and knows all. Our commander especially knows his troops. He knows everything about us, saints. He knows who we are, what we're going to go against. He created us. Therefore, as he calls his commands and set forth his decrees in this earth, he does knowing how it will influence us. God knows how much of the battle we can bear and always provides a safe way of escape. Now, when we look at the commander-in-chief, we know what a commander-in-chief is. Basically, is the head of the state or affairs. And certainly we can see in our present day when the president of the free world is certainly the commander-in-chief of the forces, and that's all the forces. And we have several branches. We have the Marines, the Army, National Guard. We have all of them, and I'm not going to sit here and try to figure out, call all the names, because I'd be messing up. But many times, we have situations we come upon in our lives and we stress ourselves trying to figure out how to handle them. The enemy comes at us in various ways in the effort to steal, kill, and destroy our faith in God. God wants us to know that he is Jehovah Gibbar, Milchama, the Lord mighty in battle. Jehovah Gibbar, Milchama, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the Lord mighty in battle. We've been looking at the battle. We've been looking at our enemies. We've been looking at those people that are coming against us and knowing who and what we're fighting. And we begin to see that God is right there in the trenches with us, that he's fighting our battles, as we see in scriptures. As we see in Psalms 24 and 8, as a child of God, you are as children of God, you are the enemies of God's enemy, and that is the devil. When we come on the Lord's side, and certainly we can praise and worship and magnify him, when we come on the Lord's side, when we make him our own, we are automatically in spiritual warfare. And I know this may be a refreshing course for those of you that already know it. But God is mighty in battle. And certainly God outlines it, and he demonstrates how mighty he is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And if you begin to see that, you begin to read through those verses and you begin to see how God operates and how God fights for us. Now, yes, that's in the Old Testament, but understand the Old Testament is relevant for today's time. And certainly when you look at the New Testament just refers back to the Old Testament, because we find Jesus in Scripture in the Old Testament. We find him in Isaiah. We find Christ in the Psalms. So when we see the Word of God, how it applies to our lives, how it is relevant to what we're going through today. Hallelujah. So we begin to understand that the battles we have fought, that the battles that we're in, that the battles we're going against, that the enemies that are facing us, we can say in our hearts that God is the God of war, and he will provide for our needs. Now, I'm going to end this one with some information from Cindy Trim, and this is from her book, Rules of Engagement, The Art, The Strategic Power, and the Strategic Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. And certainly you can get this book. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to get it and read it. We have dominion. We have dominion in our homes. We have dominion. Every step we make, we have dominion, and we have to understand to exercise that power, to exercise what God has given us, to walk in the authority that he's given us. And before I do that, I want to talk about one armor, and that is the helmet of salvation. When we look at the helmet of salvation and we look at our weaponry, and the Bible says put on the whole armor. And the first part of that is the helmet of salvation. You know, I like the History Channel, and I like various educational channels to learn more and more about different things. And, you know, people, the scientists are trying to study the world and trying to study the mind, and they don't understand a whole lot of information. They don't understand why people have survived, how people can do great feats of strength, all related to the mind. The Bible says, if thou can believe, all things are possible. God has made us in such a way that our minds hold a tremendous ability to be successful. So a man thinketh that he is. So when we look at the mind, when we look at the mind's ability to set in motion how far we go in life, when we look at the emotional instability, when we look at all the things that Satan does to attack our minds, to attack our thinking, to attack our belief system, all starts in our mind, which is our brain, which is all of that matter that's sitting up in the top of our heads. And there are parts of our brains that does various things. They give us our musical ability. They give us the ability to see, all in the brain, all in our heads, all that matter, the frontal cortex. It says that you don't mature until you're 25 years old. I say that to say this. The mind is a strategic battlefield where spiritual warfare is commonly fought. If Satan can make you disbelieve, if he can make you think that God will not fight your battles, and there are people that have gone through those situations, if you've gone through a serious illness, if you've gone through illness like cancer or spirits of depression, you think, where is God? God has left me. God has forgotten about me. But God has not forgotten about you. He loves you. That's the enemy's trying to destroy and to get you to think negatively. Let me read this, and I'm going to pray. These items come from Cindy Trim, Rules of Engagement, like I said before. I place upon you myself the armor of light and the Lord, Romans 13 and 12, Ephesians 6, 13 through verses 17. Truth to cover my loins, Psalms 51 and 6. The breastplate of righteousness to cover my heart and chest cavities, Psalms 5:12 and 2 Corinthians 6 and 7. The gospel of peace to cover my feet, Isaiah 52 and 7. The shield of faith to defensively and offensively cover my body, Hebrews 10 verse 38, Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 6. The helmet of salvation to cover my head, Isaiah 59 and 17, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 17. Revelations chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13 and 14. A robe of righteousness, Isaiah 61 and 10. The glory of God is my reward, Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verse 8. Certainly, let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for those that are on this word on today, and those certainly that have been here, and those that made it, decided to come on, decided that they were going to be part and listen. And I pray for those that even will hear this word. I pray, God, that you touch right now, Father God. I pray, God, that you move mightily in their lives. I pray, God, that they will be blessed abundantly and allow this word to be hidden in their heart, Father God. I pray, God, that every need shall be supplied. God, you supply and put the armor upon them right now in the name of Jesus. God, we bind every thought that's contrary to the word of God. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. We speak those things that is not as though they are. We thank you, God, for each one. We thank you for those that are going to hear this message, Father God. We bind Satan. We break every yoke in the name of Jesus. We destroy it on today. We declare you free. We declare you set free. We declare it in the name of Jesus. We declare your mind loose. We declare healing in your body. We thank you, God, for your glory that you have given to us. And we thank you, God, because we are lining ourselves up with the word of God. And we're saying, God, you know the need. And we thank you, God, for supplying that need. And we thank you, God, that you are, hallelujah, the commander and chief of our lives. As we move forward from this day forth, God, give us to understand the battle and to know that you're fighting for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, this is Dr. Maria Carey. If you have enjoyed this message, if you need clarity on this message, certainly give me a text, 309-750-7584. Just say, Dr. Carey, in Georgia, keep praying for me. If you feel led to even send a donation to help with the undergirdness of this ministry, say, Dr. Carey, the Lord has laid it upon my heart to send you help in this matter. Certainly, we can talk about that as well. But again, I want to let you know that the School of Ministry registration is up and operation, and we are going to talk about the DNA of emotional instability. And I will encourage you to come and register and be a part of this dynamic and outstanding class, because we are always going give the word of God, and certainly he's going to provide a ram in the bush, and he's going to see you through, and he's going to give you a better understanding of his word and how it operates in you. God bless. I see you on next week. Bye-bye.